Without a megaphone, babe, Mr. Dog, Kesa Ria Kanega. How do we call it? Look at a nega. Somebody who has a nega in a part of the body that is sometimes concealed. How does the coin decide if this nega is tummy? If it didn't, then a nega is only the tummy of the person if it's in a part of the body that is revealed. But if it's in a part of the body that's concealed, it would not be the tummy of the person. So if a person has a nega between his legs, how does the coin decide if it's a revealed part of the body or a concealed part of the body? So the Mishnah tells us, Ha'ish nira ka'oida. A male who has a nega between his legs, he would stand with his legs apart the mouth, that his legs would be apart when he is hoeing. And the Kohen would look at the nega and see if the nega is a parent with his legs spread apart that amount. If it's a parent with his legs spread apart that amount, that's considered a nega and a revealed part of the body, and he would be tummy. But if the nega is not a parent with his legs spread apart the mouth, that is spread apart when he is hoeing, that's considered a nega and a concealed part of the body, and he would not be tummy. Ukamaisik vasin. If the nega is underneath his arm, the person would pick up his arm as if he was picking olives from a tree, and if the nega is apparent and the person is standing in that position, that's considered a nega and a revealed part of the body, and he would be tummit. And since it's usual for a person to spread his legs apart the amount that is spread apart for hoeing, and to pick up his arm the amount that is picked up for picking olives, so therefore it's considered a revealed part of the body, even though with his arm down and with his legs together you cannot see the nega. But since it's usual for a person to spread his legs a little bit and to pick up his arm a bit, so therefore, since the nega is apparent in that position, it's considered a nega and a revealed part of the body, and the person would be tummy. Ha'isha ka'irechas ukamenika espina. A woman that has a nega between her legs or underneath her breasts. If the nega is between her legs, she would spread her legs the amount that she spreads it when she is kneading dough, as it's normal for a woman to spread her legs that amount. And if the nega is apparent in that position, that would be considered a nega and revealed part of the body. But if not, it would be considered a nega that's in a concealed part of the body, and she would not be tummy. And if the nega is underneath her breast, she would put herself in a position that she does when she nurses her son. And if the nega is apparent in that position, that's considered a nega in a revealed part of the body, and she would be tummy. But if not, it would be considered a nega in a concealed part of the body, and she would not be tummy. If a woman has a nega underneath her right arm, she would stand with her right arm up as if she was weaving on a loom. And if the nega is apparent in that position, she would be tummy. As it's normal for a woman to pick up her right arm the amount that she does when she is standing and weaving with the loom upright. In such a case, since it's normal for her to pick up her arm that amount, if the nega is apparent in that position, that's considered a nega and a revealed part of the body. Rabbi Huda Omer, Akitaiva Bepishton Lismolis. Rabbi Huda said, a woman that has a nega underneath her left arm, then she would pick up her arm the amount that she picks up her arm when she is spinning flax. And if the nega is apparent in that position, that's considered a nega in a revealed part of the body, and it's normal for a woman to pick up her left arm to spin flax. Now the Mefarshim speak out that the Tanna Kamma only mentioned what would be considered a revealed nega underneath the right arm, but he doesn't mention anything about a nega underneath the left arm. And Rabbi Huda only discusses what would be with a nega that's underneath the left arm. He doesn't mention anything about the right arm. So some are forced to explain that the Tanna Kamma holds, since it's normal for a woman to pick up her right arm for weaving, so whatever would be considered a nega in a revealed part of the body under the right arm would also be considered a nega in a revealed part of the body under the left arm, even though a woman doesn't use her left arm for weaving. But we equate the right arm and the left arm, since it's normal to pick up the right arm, and a nega that's apparent in that position is considered a nega in a revealed part of the body, so too a nega underneath the left arm in that position would be considered a nega in a revealed part of the body, even though it's not so usual for a woman to pick up her left arm. While Rabbi Yehuda holds that a woman generally picks up her left arm to spin, it's not so usual for a woman to pick up her right arm. So whatever is considered a nega in a revealed part of the body if it's in under her left arm would also be considered a nega in a revealed part of her body if it's underneath the right arm, even though it's not usual for a woman to pick up her right arm. Whatever is considered a revealed part of the body as far as a nega is concerned is also considered a revealed part of the body as far as the teglachas of a mitzvah is concerned. As the day that a mitzvah becomes tall, the din is he has to shave all the hair from his body. And the halacha is you only have to shave the hair from the revealed parts of the body, not from concealed part of the body. And whatever is considered a revealed part of the body as far as nega is concerned would also be considered a revealed part of the body as far as the mitzvah shaving off his hair is concerned. Mitzvah negaim parapeh mishnah hey ka negaim adam roa chutz me nega atzma. A kohen who sees a nega, he's allowed to see the nega of any individual that he wants, even the nega of a relative or his wife, with the exception of his own nega. If the kohen has a nega tzaraas on his own skin, he would have to go to a different kohen to check out and see if the nega is tamei or tar. Rabbi Meir Oimer, afilo nigei kroivo. A Meir said, not only is he not allowed to see a nega on his own skin, but he's also not allowed to see a nega on one of his relatives. Rabbi Meir learned this out from a pasuk. Ka nidarim adam matir chutz me nidri atzma. A chacha who is matir and neder, the person who made a neder, and now it's difficult for him to keep the neder, can go to a chacham and be matir the neder. And a chacham could be matir anybody's neder with the exception of his own neder. We learn out from a pasuk that a chacham cannot be matir a neder that he himself made. He would have to go to a different chacham. Rabbi Huda Aymer, afilo nidre isto shebeinah lebein acher. Rabbi Huda said, not only could a chacham not be matir his own neder, he also cannot be matir a neder that his wife makes that affects the relationship she has with other people. If it doesn't affect the relationship she has with her husband, or if it's not inui nefesh, something that afflicts her, in such a case, a husband cannot be made for the neder. He cannot annul the neder. Instead, the neder would have to be brought to a chacham, and if her husband's a chacham, he cannot be the one to be matir the neder. As a chacham is matir a neder only if good reason is given. And we're afraid if a woman goes to her husband to be matir the neder, he will be lenient in finding a reason to be matir the neder. But that's only if he's being matir the neder himself. But if he's being matir the neder with two other people, in such a case, we do not suspect that the husband will be naked, will be lenient in finding a reason to be matir the neder. And since he's only doing it with another two people, we do not suspect him in such a case. Call b'charis adam roa. Chutz mi b'charis atzma. A chacham is allowed to check out the mo on anybody's b'chor, even the b'chor of a relative, with the exception of a b'chor that belongs to himself. As it didn't that nowadays, when there's no base of mikdash, the b'chor cannot be brought to the korban. But it has to be given to a kohen anyway. And the kohen cannot shecht the b'chor and eat it until it has a mum. And since it can't be brought to the korban, it cannot be shechted until it has a mum kavoy, permanent mum. So therefore, the kohen has to wait around until the b'chor has a mum before he shechts it. So therefore, it's expensive for him to keep the b'chor around. If he has to feed the b'chor, he's not allowed to do any avoda, any work with the b'chor, since it has kedusha. So it costs him money to raise the b'chor until it finally has a mum and he can shecht it. And when it does have a mum, it has to be brought to a chacham to ascertain that the mum that it has is a mum kavur, a permanent mum, that would allow the kohen to shecht it. And the Mishnah tells us that a chacham can see the b'chor of any person that he wants with the exception of his own b'chor. If a chacham is a kohen and his own b'chor has a mum, he cannot ascertain himself whether that mum is a mum kavur or not, and since there's a loss of money involved, he cannot be trusted that maybe he'll be mekel, he'll be lenient. Instead, he would have to bring the b'chor to a different chacham. Now, that which a chacham cannot see his own b'chor, that's only if he's checking it out himself. He's a yachid mumcha, he's an expert at checking out mum, so therefore he has the right to ascertain whether it's a mum kavua by himself without being mistarved, combining with anybody else. But if he's not checking out the mum himself, instead he's combining with two other people to check out the mum, in such a case, he can ascertain whether his own b'chor has a mum kavur or not. And since he's not checking it out himself, he's combining with two other people, he is no longer suspect to be mekel.